Hello, welcome once again to a new episode of Cheese Freak, Cheese Freak, Jesus Freak. Oh, it's ridiculously early in the morning, but I do believe that these are the secret hours. That is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time to get into prayer, intercession, reading the word. I love it. At this hour, I just feel like it's more special. It's almost as if the heavens feel closer to earth at that time, or maybe it's simply because there's less distractions. Either way, I'm not going to be with you long. However, I do feel a huge tug in my spirit to release this particular podcast, and it's on a topic that we literally do not talk about unless maybe there's some documentary every once in, 10 years that highlights this very sinister issue that does plague some churches, and there are particular denominations where it's more affiliated with. However, I do believe it affects every community, especially the church community. And we're going to be talking about pedophilia. And we have all nice names for them. And we can say, well, it's an altar boy syndrome. Sometimes we call it, those men and their urges. And the ramifications of it, I don't think our human brains can begin to grapple what happens when a spiritual leader takes advantage of a young child, when that trust is broken, and how that shapes their future, how it affects their self-worth, and how hard it is to pick up the pieces again. This is not to say that they'll never have a great life, but no one should have to go through that battle, especially because it's caused by institutions or systems or humans who have trouble regulating their emotions. So, in a nutshell, anytime we have an adult abusing their power of authority and grooming a kid into, doing, they may start simple and small favors and eventually gradually progress to the point where they may be asking for sexual favors of any nature. They may start with something as simple as, oh, you can come with me to go to the tongue. And, let's be really honest. A lot of us as parents, when we think of, priests and priestesses, though I think most of us are a bit more aware now, we naturally don't think that we need to test the spirit. We assume that they have on this clothing, or they wear this office, so therefore they must be a man of God. But the Bible does remind us to use wisdom in everything. And to test the spirit, okay? So this entire podcast came upon me because of a dream that I had last night. And in that dream, I saw a very powerful black family. And I don't know these persons in real life. I do believe it's all a symbol, but who knows? You never really know, do you? And they were very powerful. And I felt in the dream as if I was having this almost like I had a fly on the wall, sort of view. I'm there, but they don't know I'm there, really. And there were cameras around, so there had to be a sort of media, or maybe it was a social media aspect. And they looked perfect as to what we would call, they were like an Instagrammable family, almost the likeness of what you would call like the Kardashian legacy. They were sort of like a black Kardashian, what society considers royalty or celebrity status. And they're then I'm like, wow, this is a lot of wealth these people have, and they're having all their TV time, they smell good, they look good. And there were these kids in the dream, and the children were really unhappy. But when they got to the screen in front of the camera, it's almost as if the children were made to perform as if they were happy. And you can see the adults in the back sort of telling them how they can be. Anyway, the dream later progressed, and I'm not sure what happened, but something went wrong. It's almost as if there was one of the kids who got out and threatened to release certain information. And then that's where I started to see various levels of the dream be released. And there were various levels to it, but cutting various aspects out that I don't believe I have to share. In a nutshell, what I saw is that what I'm seeing on the outside with a lot of these influential and wealthy families, though there's nothing wrong with wealth and nothing wrong with influence, especially if it adds for God's kingdom. What we were seeing is that there was a very degrading act happening, a very sinister act, where a lot of that the power of that dynasty was sort of kept from, it's so hard to say because it is a very challenging thing to talk about. It's almost as if there was a pedophilia-like spirit. That's not in the Bible, a spirit of pedophilia, but I'm just saying it's literally as if adults were having sex with the kids. And the kids had to make themselves out to be, you know, happy because they had all these things and all this wealth, but they were literally being sodomized and just brutally abused sexually. And I got up just feeling a need to pray against the spirit of pedophilia or against those sexual predators who plague our children. And before I get into that prayer, I want us to understand that as a church, we cannot turn a blind eye to reality. We cannot be so heavily minded that we are no earthly good. Because then there will be no true deliverance, there'll be no true revival unless we expose the weaknesses in a spirit of love. And unless we come together in prayer, intercession, and with the hand of the Holy Ghost to make real changes that affect the lives of those who we are calling and encouraging to come walk with us in Christ. So there are many of us who may have been victims of sexual abuse, who may have been victims by pastors and leaders and priests, and you know, some of the altar boys may have been affected, even girls or females. It's genderless in this case, literally. Anyone can be affected. They can be preyed upon. Some of the churches, as soon as the children reach a legal age, they are forced into marriage. It's not necessarily orchestrated by God, but it is an agenda. And sometimes the men are much older, and different things such as that. And we have to begin to speak the truth. There must be more mental health support for those who have been affected. And we have to create safe spaces for those who are affected to speak out. Do you know how many times churches are aware of improper sexual conduct and activity, but it's hidden under the rug? And elders and those in leadership, they're afraid to speak out. If you are one who are listening and you have the ability to create a safe space, to create counseling opportunities, so that these persons can be empowered to move forward with the broken pieces they're left with. In addition to prayer support and your constant intercession, it is a starting point. It's surely not going to be enough, but it is a starting point. There also needs to be policies, written policies. Even though we are not called to judge, we have to ensure that our children are safe and that our church are safe spaces. So it leaves the question, if someone is a sexual predator, should they be allowed to be in a church setting and around, you know, teaching and educating children when church is a place for all? I don't have all the answers, but these are questions that churches, administrative levels need to sit, pray, and think about. how do we protect our children while allowing the church to be a safe space for all? Because sexual predators have a right to come and enjoy church, yes, but our children have even more of a right to be safe. So, we have to come up with these policies together. If the sex offenders list is public, do we use this information in a positive way and limit the interactions with the kids? Or do we totally provide a support network separate from the church in the community where we are giving Christian-like principles and we are giving support and we are providing that mental health support for the perpetrators? But maybe I'm a bit biased, but I would say that the survivors are even more keen, even though there needs to be reform for the sexual predators. But the conversation has to happen. And I'm hoping that Jesus Freak podcast falls on the ear of someone who deep inside of their spirit, they know that, are we doing enough to help our children who are preyed upon, especially within the church? It is time for policies to be made. It is time for more reform to occur. And it's definitely time for us to ensure as much as we can within our power that our churches are safe spaces for children. If this means that when children are going out with pastors, they need to be a third party, then so be it. If this means that there needs to be a police background check, not just in that particular state, but in the different states that they live, then so be it. We have to do it for a job anyway. So why not to protect our children and avoid future harm? But there is a level of transparency that is required, because some churches hide the past and they send them to another area and the story continues. We are called to be truthful. We are called to be light. We are called to be lovers. So now I want you to join me in prayer as we boldly declare against anything that seeks to attack our children. And I pray this prayer from a special place as a mother. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I come to you with the power and the authority that you've given me in this realm to decree and declare what you have laid upon my spirit through this channel. I decree and declare that all of Satan's agenda is exposed right now against your children. Lord, you have a special heart for your children, O God. And we decree and declare that you give charge to your mighty angels to expose every secretly devised plot and plan to harm your children. We cancel every snare, every trap, every deceptive plot, every act of sexual grooming in the mighty name of Jesus. We blind every sexual perpetrator and every agent of darkness. We paralyze you in the name of Jesus, according to your principles in Acts 13, 6 to 11. And we loose your hedge of protection over all the children, especially those within your church institutions. We decree and declare, O God, that you shine new light and that your church will once again be a safe haven for young and old. We decree and declare that you embolden your church institutions, O Lord, to be honest, to be transparent, and to protect your children that you have so given us steward over. We decree and declare, oh God, that you release strategies, oh Lord. New, fresh strategies, oh Lord, to decrease and to totally annihilate the spirit of pedophilia that plagues our churches. I decree and declare that the church will no longer be silent on issues that plague your children. I pray right now for the hearts of those who have already been broken. I pray that you heal them in only places you know. I pray, oh God, that they find supernatural strength from you. And we pray, oh God, that you release the resources that they need physically and spiritually to help them charge forth and complete your purpose that you have in their lives. Oh Lord, have mercy on us as humans, for we have dropped the ball too often. We thank you, oh God, for those who are standing and agreeing, because your word says that where two or three are gathered, oh Lord, oh, your power is there. And so we thank you for listening to us as our prayers ascend into your heavenly realms. In no other name but the mighty name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.